This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
Everybody. Yeah, first service meets second service, and in person meet online. We are so glad that you guys are here today and just wanted to have a special day today. We've been waiting for this day for over a year as we've been wanting to cast vision and just waiting for God to birth that. So thank you for being here. We're glad that you're here. If you have the message notes, take them out. You can open the app or you can go into the thing that you just QR code, or if you're still paper driven, I think we still have some copies in the library. Go to the end, turn to the right. They're on the table there. You can follow along as well. And as you're doing that, as you're getting started, I want to start with a question. A question that Jesus asked twice in the book of Mark, chapter 10. Two different circumstances, two different groups, but I think it's a really important question. It's an intriguing question that I want you to think about. And this is the question that he asked two different groups, two different times. Here's the question. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked two different people this question. What do you want me to do for you? And I want you to think about, if you were to sit down today with Jesus and look him in the eye and he turned to you and he said to you, what do you want me to do for you? What would you ask him? What would you ask him to do in your life if he was to say, what do you want me to do for you? Now, let me give you the context of this question. Twice in Mark chapter 10, he's with different groups. First time, he is walking on the road to Jerusalem. He is walking toward Jerusalem, and it's dangerous, and it says he's out in front, and the disciples are kind of following along, and they're amazed at him because of his courage, and they're afraid, and they're holding back. And then he turns to them and says, look, guys, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. This is the third time I'm telling you this. I'm going to go. I'm going to die. I'm going to be tortured. I'm going to be mocked. And then two of the sons of Zebedee, the sons of thunder, James and John, have this thing. And they come to Jesus right after he tells them he's going to die. And they say to Jesus, do for us whatever we ask you to do. And so Jesus says to them, what do you want me to do for you? James and John said, well, we could sit on your right and left in your kingdom. That's what we would want from you. We want to sit in the places of honor in your glory, which is a strange thing to say to someone if you're saying about your glory to Jesus. But they want the glory. And he says, I can't give you that. I can't give you that. That's not for me to choose. Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink from? Or are you going to be baptized with the baptism I'm going to be baptized with, which means his suffering? And they, out of their ignorance, said, sure, we can do that. And then he said to them, look, guys, this is the deal. If you want to be first in my kingdom, you have to be a servant. And if you want to be great, you have to be a slave. And it says the other 10 were mad at him. They were indignant at this. They didn't want to be around him because this question was so selfish. It was so self-centered. And so they kind of just said, what are we going to do with these guys? And then they kept walking. Now skip a little bit later in Mark chapter 10, verse 51. Different scenario. They're still traveling to Jerusalem. They're outside of Jericho. And Jesus is drawing crowds. People are coming to hear from him. And there's one man in the crowd, Bartimaeus, who's blind and he's begging. And he is crying out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. And the crowd says, be quiet. We're trying to focus on Jesus, not on you. And he says, no, wait, have mercy on me. And he got louder and louder. And Jesus finally says, well, call him over to me. And so Bartimaeus took off his coat and dropped it on the ground and ran to Jesus. And Jesus said to him this question, what do you want me to do for you? I mean, it's pretty obvious, right? And Bartimaeus says, I just want to see, restore my sight. I just want to see. And Jesus says, because of your faith, you can see. Same question, two different scenarios. One of them, Jesus granted. The other one, he didn't, because one of them was born out of a heart of selfishness. We want to be glorified. The other one was just, I need this. So my question again from Jesus is, if he was to ask you, what do you want me to do for you, what would you say? What would you say to Jesus? We took this to our leadership team a few weeks ago, and I put it out there as a question. I said, we're going to meet. Here's the question. If Jesus was across from you, what would you say to him for your life and for your ministry? Because our leaders all have a ministry here at Bridges. And what would you ask for the church? And we had a great meeting, I felt like, because they came in with some really good stuff, and we talked about it in groups, and we prayed together as if Jesus had asked us this question, what do you want me to do for you? And they were really powerful things. And I will tell you that before that meeting, I'd gone up on Pilate, because that's where I feel close to God up there. It seems higher, right? You can see everything up there. And I took my journal, and I said, Jesus, what should I ask for? Not that he's a genie, right? But if I was to sit down with you, Jesus, what could I ask for? And I came up with three things. For my own life, I said, Jesus, change my heart. Change my heart. I want a bigger heart for you. I feel like I've been holding back a little bit. I've been a little bit holding back, and I think with COVID, if you're like me, kind of step back a little bit. You're just trying to survive, and I think I've been holding back, and there's things that I want to do. I want to see God do in my own life. I said, Jesus, change my heart. I'd like a new heart. Can you do that for me? Can you change who I am from the very innermost part of my being? And then I said, for my ministry, the ministry of my life, I want two things really, but it's really encapsulated into one. I just want to see fruitfulness. I want to see my life count, and I want at the end of the day to bear fruit for his kingdom. I want to see it impact others' lives. And then I said, for the church, what would I ask for Bridges Church? I wouldn't ask for money. I wouldn't ask for other things like that. What I would ask for is to see God at work in a powerful way in people's lives, to see people's life changed by Jesus, to see people give their lives and find salvation, to see baptisms, to have people come in and tell a God story. You know what a God story is? When you walk in and go, this week, I heard from God. Or this week, I prayed and God did some things. I want to hear more of those kinds of stories. I go, Jesus, if you were to ask me, what do you want me to do for you? I said, change my heart, make my life more fruitful, and I want to hear about God's glory happening in our lives together, just to see him at work. That's what I would ask for Jesus to do. In 2022, I was on a spiritual journey, probably like a lot of you guys, after coming through COVID, slowly coming out. And in the spring, Brandon Carson and I went to the Exponential Conference in Raleigh. It's a conference for church planters, church leaders. It's about reaching more people, exponentially reaching more, discipling more. We heard some really great speakers. I played some of the videos for our staff over the summer. But the big thing was, while I was there, a friend of mine, Donnie Williams, who pastors a church in Raleigh, came up to me with excitement in his eyes. And I know Donnie, he's not a guy that just gets excited. He goes, I want to tell you about a passage of scripture that has impacted my life. And not only a passage of scripture, but within that passage is one verse. And within that verse, there's one word. And I know a lot of people this time of year focus on one word for the year, right? But he had focused on this word for a year. And since May, this passage has grabbed my heart. This verse has impacted my life. This one word is like taking over. It's like, if I could put it in one word, this is the word. So I want to look at the passage, okay? It's Acts chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, turn there, verse 42 to 47. It's a chapter focused on the first church. After Pentecost, this group of people came together, many of them who knew Jesus, but a lot of them who never met him face to face. This is the birth of the church. And what Luke in the book of Acts wrote about is something to inspire us today. So Acts chapter 2, 42 through 47, we're going to dive into this. And by the end of the day, you're going to know one of these verses, okay? And there's a reason why we want you to know it. So here's the passage about this first church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. For a moment, put yourself there in the first church. Be there. What would it have been like? You go to the temple and you get a big gathering of people and they're just listening to the word being spoken to them. They are sharing life together. They have tight relationships. When someone was hurting, they were there for each other. But the big thing, I think, is they were telling stories about God. They were doing life in awe of what God was doing around them. It was a powerful time. And one of the things I love about it says, and they had favor with the people, meaning people actually liked them outside of the church. These are good people. They're making a difference with their lives. And then it says the Lord added to their number every day those who were being saved. Eternal lives were happening right there. Salvation was happening to them. And it must have been an exciting time to be there in that time. And I think when I walk away from this passage, I go, Jesus, if you could do anything, do that. If you could do that in our church, wouldn't that be cool? Now, in that passage, there's one verse that my friend said grabbed his heart, and it grabbed mine too. It's verse 42. Verse 42. And it says this, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, the breaking of bread and to prayer. This is like the catalyst for everything they saw because they were devoted. They were devoted to what God was doing. God began to work in their lives. They began to see him in a greater way. So that one word in that one verse, the word devoted just stands out. For those of you that like the Greek, okay, here's a Greek word for you. It's the word proskaterio. Pros means towards, like you're moving towards somewhere. And katerio means your strength, the force of your life is heading somewhere. So if you really love something, like you love a movie, you love a hobby, your force is moving toward there. Your strength is moving toward there. You give it everything you have. And for this group, that's what they were giving their life to. Three things. Three things they were so devoted to. The apostles' teaching, right? They showed up. They said, we want to learn. We're hungry. Teach us. And it was every day. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching. And this is they were devoted not only to that, but to community, because it says they were devoted to fellowship and the breaking of bread. And there, it can mean two different things. Breaking of bread, we're going to talk about one now and one later. It meant they just ate together, just having a meal together. But they experienced fellowship, koinonia, which is this partnership. We're together. We're doing life. If you're hurting, I'm hurting. If you're excited, I'm excited. And they experienced it together. And it says they were devoted to prayer because they knew that God's the one that supplied the power. Wasn't their effort, wasn't their ability. It was what God was doing. And they turned to God with desperation and said, God, we're in the midst of this crazy culture out there, this dark world. We need you. And so that word devoted is huge in those three areas. We had an elder and staff retreat right in December, right at the end of the year. And we sat down and said, now that we're coming out of COVID, now we're starting to see life come back, what's the vision? What's the vision for this coming year? What is God going to do? What are we going to ask God to do? We took this passage, we took some other passages, we had prayed and fasted, we came together, and out of that is born a vision for this year. And I want to share it with you. It's there on your outline. It's three things, the same thing the first church did. So there's three parts of this vision that we're kicking off today. And here's the vision. Here's what we want to do together. Number one, we want to see this year a deeper devotion to the Word of God. Bridges is built on the Word of God. A lot of you love it, but we want to go even deeper. Go back to that first church. When they came in, they didn't have the letters of Paul. They didn't have the New Testament like we have. All they had was the disciples, the 11 that were left, plus Matthias. They added to it. And they would come every day and they'd go, let me tell you about Jesus. This is what he taught me. Maybe Nathaniel went up and shared a special story from his life. Matthew had written down notes. He says, let me tell you that day that Jesus did this. Let me tell you what he taught. John would have come in and said, yeah, Jesus is one of my best friends. Let me tell you what he did to my life. And the people were just eating it up. Tell us more. Tell us more. What if we could do that? So this year, this is what we're going to do. We're going to start next week with a series just focused on Jesus. All right, we're going to take the book of John, which is the story of Jesus' life. It's the easiest gospel in some ways to get through, and it's the hardest gospel to get through in some ways. It's different than the other three. And we're going to go verse by verse, story by story, teaching by teaching, and just for a year, focus on Jesus. Now, we're going to jump out sometimes around Easter and different kinds of series we'll add into it. But for this year, 23, we want you to become an expert on the life of Jesus. To be able to say, this is the one I'm following. I'm not a Christian just because it's culturally important. I'm a Christian because of Jesus. Now, one of the things we want to help you do is we have a book there at the resource table, which is in the lobby. It looks like this. It's the Gospel of John. It's just the Gospel of John. On one side is the words. On the other side is a place for you to write. This is what I'm learning about Jesus. This is a verse that stood out to me. This is a word that impacts me. I want you to have this. Write things down. Let Jesus speak to you because this year we're going to focus on Jesus Christ. our Savior and Lord. The central part of any church should be Jesus. So this year we're going to focus on John and go deeper in the Word. Our small groups are doing that as well. We're diving into the Word for marriages. One group's going to do the book of Ephesians. We're going to do a class on Thursday night, a group on how to share the Word of God to get into it. We have a group that is on Sunday morning studying the words of Jesus from Matthew. We're going to do a deep dive this year on Scripture and develop a deeper devotion to the Word. Second part of the vision for this year is this, a deeper devotion to the people of God. The people of God. We wanted to be in one room today. Look around, there's probably faces you don't recognize. You're going, are they a visitor or do they go to a different service? And here's the deal, we're all part of the body of Christ. These are our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we want to get to know each other a little bit better. And we want to do what they did. Today we're going to share a meal. Isn't that fun? That's going to be good. We're going to be together and say, this is the church that God is bringing together. We want to go deeper in relationships. We want to do more than just surface. We want to really get to know each other. So that's why we're doing small groups now. We want you to jump in. There's still a week to go. And then we're going to introduce something I'm excited about. It's called Sunday Fun Days, okay? I know it rhymes, okay? But it's Sunday Fun Days. And so do you guys know the day is the fifth Sunday of the month? And did you know in 2023, it's that strange year where there are actually 5 months with five Sundays? You number people probably already knew that. You already are on a calendar. But what we're going to do on fifth Sundays, we're going to have fun days, okay? We're still going to worship. We're still going to have our service. We're still going to have both services most of the time. And then in between, we're going to do cross-current kind of things where you get to see people from first hour and second hour. We're going to eat together. We're going to do different stuff. Each time is going to be something different just so you can get to know one another. Because one of the biggest things we're facing right now is isolation in our world, right? People feel isolated, and they need to come and just find joy of being around people. So we're going to have Sunday fun days. In the summer, we're going to do something called Week to Connect events, where we're going to have nights where you're just going to get a chance to go play a game. We're going to have game nights at houses. We're going to do things like watch a movie at a place. We're going to have nights here at the church. We're just going to do something fun so you can just come and focus on relationships. And I'm excited about that. And we're just going to say, get to know people. And then develop a close, close relationship with them so that you know them. And we're going to have fun together. The third thing that the vision entails is this, a deeper devotion to prayer to God. Because prayer is vital to any church that's any kind of life in it. What if we devoted our lives to prayer this year? Wherever you are on your prayer journey, could you take another step? A little step further. Now, we've already added something the last couple of weeks. You guys have heard us talk about this. At the end of the service, there's going to be a group up here that's just going to be praying for people. And we want you to feel comfortable to come up and just say, would you pray for my brother? He doesn't know Jesus. Would you pray for my aunt? She's dealing with cancer. Would you help our family because we just are just not getting along? Would you pray for us? We have a prayer request. Maybe you don't even want to mention the name, but you just want someone to come around you and pray. And so that's happening on Sundays. You'll notice in the cards in front of you, those that have that in the back, you'll see a prayer card. You fill it out. Go to the app. It's on there too. We want you to be praying, and we want to be praying with you. Not only that, but as has already been mentioned, this Friday we're having prayer and worship night. We're just going to come on Friday night, and it's just going to be focused on prayer and worship. We're doing several of these through the year. We hope that you'll come and be excited about just looking to Jesus and lifting up his name. And then this year, we're also going to do in the fall, we're going to do a fun thing. I think it's fun. It's going to be a prayer summit in October. We're bringing in someone to teach us about prayer. And then here's a challenge in November. All right, you can be thinking about this now. Leading up to Thanksgiving, we're going to do 21 days of prayer and fasting. You got time to get ready for that. Go ahead and eat now so that you're ready in November. And then on Thanksgiving, you'll be ready to eat for that day. We're not going to stop eating for 21 days. We're going to spread it out, so don't get panicky already. And you're going to eat soup today. It's coming, all right? But we just want to have prayer for breakthroughs in people's lives. Have you ever tried to change someone else's life on your own? Have you ever tried to overcome an obstacle and you just couldn't do it? You ever tried to open a door that wouldn't open? That's what prayer is about. Allowing God to work when we devote ourselves to prayer. And this year, we want to take some big steps of prayer focus. That's the vision. That's where we're heading. And part of that is we want you to apply it. When you came in, you should have gotten a pick five card. If not, they're in the seats in front of you. You guys get this? This looks like a bingo card, all right? There's 25 different slots. This is application time. We want you to apply what we're talking about. So there's 25 things on here, okay, of just simple steps sometimes, simple steps of things that we can do. One is like invite someone to church. Maybe that's what you want to do this year. And you're going to say, God, who is it? And you're going to invite them. Have coffee with a friend. If you don't drink coffee, substitute like tea or Pepsi, and you'll get to heaven faster if you do that, okay? Have coffee with a friend. That's just invite them and get to know them. Sponsor a compassion child, part of our missions emphasis. Reflect on a verse a day for 5 days. That's the number one thing that causes people to grow. Did you know that? Reflecting on scripture every day is the number one thing that causes people to grow. We're doing something called the Reveal Study right now, and it's out there. If you haven't taken it yet, please do, and it talks about where are you in your walk. And we have about the same number of people who are stalled spiritually as we do that are moving really rapidly spiritually. And I would say to you on either end, find a verse a day and reflect on it throughout the day. And it's the biggest thing to help people grow. Read the book of John. We're going to be focused on that. Attend a worship night. Meet a neighbor. Pray and fast for a day. You see these things. Memorize Acts 2:42. You'll be able to do that at the end of the day, okay, if you haven't heard it enough. Attend a Sunday fun day. And then the last one says try all 25. All right? You overachievers out there, you're waiting for this one, weren't you? You're going to go, I got to do all 25. We made it so anybody can do any of them at all times, and so you do that. And then our website reflects all this. We have a new portal on our website. You just click through where it says Devoted 23. You go in. There's a thing that says pick five, get five done, and we want to recognize you with a small gift. Get all 25 done, a little bit larger gift, but we just want to say, let's apply. Let's live it out. Let's see what God will do. So hang on to those. There's more at the resource table out there. But the big thing is saying, God, what do you want me to do this year? And how can we bring glory to Jesus? This year, we want to do a focus year with everything that we have focused on the things that you've heard. And then we talked about at our elder retreat, we said, what about the next 2 years? Jesus took 3 years to train his disciples, right? What if we took 3 years in our vision? And instead of just focusing on one, what if we had a vision for further out? I want to share that with you. If you were here last week, we said the definition of disciple, which is what we've been called to be, definition of disciple is this, is a person who's devoted to Jesus, they're developing in Jesus, and they're deployed by Jesus, right? They're devoted, we just talked about that, they're developing in Jesus, and then they're deployed, they're sent out by Jesus. So we looked at the three-year vision, and this is what we came up. Here's what the 3 years is going to look like. This year, we're going to say devoted in 2023. That's our focus for this year. 24, if Jesus doesn't come back in time, we're going to focus on developing in Jesus, meaning we're going to try, and we're going to focus, and we're going to train, and we're going to be looking at how do you become like Jesus? How do you become like Jesus? How do you do the things that Jesus did? Jesus was totally focused on the Father. He lived by the Holy Spirit. He had compassion on people. He knew how to pray. He knew how to build relationships. He knew how to care for people that were broken. He knew how to make disciples. We're going to take a year and do what Jesus did. And then 25, when 25 gets here, we're not going to wait for 25 to do all these things, but when 25 gets here, we're going to be deployed. You're going to be prepared and ready to go to make disciples of all nations. You're going to know how to share the gospel. You're going to know how to make disciples. You're going to know how to develop disciples. And then we're going to send teams all over the world to share the good news. We're not going to wait till then to do some of this. Like we're already starting with BTG, our nonprofit. We're already going to start with the Learning Center. We're already doing things in the community. We have some things coming up this year to work in the community. So we're going to start. But the big push is in 25. So get your passports ready, okay? If you need to get those applied for, start saving up money. Be dreaming and go, God, where do you want me to go? Where do you want me to go? Because I want to go. Because that's where the excitement is. If we had to put a line to this, a wording to this, a sentence for this, here's our three-year vision in a sentence. It's simply this. A deeper devotion to Christ, his church, and his mission. That's the phrase. That's what we're going for. If someone asks you, what is a 3-year vision at your church? We want to have a deeper devotion to Jesus Christ, a deeper devotion to his church, Bridges Church, right here where he's placed me, and a deeper devotion to the mission to share the good news wherever we go. So the question is, what if? What if over this year, God decided to do something in our own lives? What if we came out of this a different people, a better people, a more devoted people? What if one person comes to Christ because of something you did today? Just a dedication of your life. What if you knew the people around you were going to be impacted because you're going to be praying for them? You're going to begin seeing God at work in their life. What if you had God's stories to tell at the end of these 3 years? Man, COVID was hard. It took 3 years of my life. But these next 3 years, God did some extraordinary thing and redeemed the time. What if you were coming through a really painful season of your life, but after 3 years, you could look back and go, God had a purpose, God had a reason, and now I'm living on the other side of that. That's what this is about, focusing on what God wants to do. I have one last verse I want to leave you with before we close this up. It's a verse I think that speaks to this and takes the kind of pressure off of us and what God wants to do instead. It's 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. It says this, "For the eyes of the Lord roam throughout the earth to show himself strong for those who are wholeheartedly devoted to him." What is God looking for? What are your eyes doing right now? He's looking around the world, and he's looking for people whose hearts are wholeheartedly devoted to him. And it's those people he wants to strengthen, he wants to use, he wants to work through, he wants to bring healing to, he wants to bring them alongside him and go out in the world. He's looking for people whose hearts are devoted to him. And today, I hope that we have this vision for moving forward with that kind of heart. I want to pray over us now. I just want to turn this over to the Lord. I want you to take this time and be praying too. And just say, God, if Jesus was to sit down beside me right now and look me in the eye and say, what do you want me to do for you? What would you ask? What would you ask him to do? So let's pray it right now, because he is here. Let's pray. Father God, I'm excited about this and the things that you're doing and around us and in us and through us. And you've been building this for a long time. And now we are looking to you to work. So today, I dedicate my life to this, and I pray that everyone in the room just dedicates themselves to Jesus, not to a vision brought by human beings, but to Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, the Lord, the Messiah. Father, we just ask you now to put on our hearts, what is it you want us to ask for? Because we know if you tell us, it'll be your will. So if Jesus, you were to come to us today and say, what do you want me to do for you? Each one of us now wants to lift that up to you. Here's the thing. Here's what we're looking for. Father, we just want Jesus to be glorified. We're here to do his work. We're here to see him honored, his name lifted up. We want to see the impact that Jesus Christ desires in our world. The mission he started over 2,000 years ago is still running today, and we have our part to play. Bring us together as a church focused on the mission, focused on Jesus. Give us boldness and clarity to move forward. Empower us by your Holy Spirit. Bring change in people's lives. Heal the brokenhearted that are here today. Help those that are sick to find physical healing. We just lift all these prayer requests up to you, Father. In the name of Jesus, amen. Today, again, at the end of the service, if you just want prayer, maybe something today you're going, my heart's not right, or I'm concerned about this person again, we're going to go eat soup, but we'll wait for you. If you want to pray, just come forward at the end of the service. When everything kind of wraps up, there'll be a group over here that will meet you. Turn in a prayer card. Let us know what's going on. Today, we want to do something we do every week, but I want to tell you why we do it if you haven't ever heard. I want to go back to our main verse, Acts 2:42. And then we're going to share communion, and this is why we do it. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. It's the word breaking of bread. It has two meanings, right? It can mean we're just eating, but
But it also is synonymous when Jesus broke bread at the Last Supper, right? He broke the bread and he gave it out. And the first church was doing this often. Whenever they gathered, they were sharing it because that was a reminder to them of why they were there. It wasn't just to do church. It wasn't just to go through the motions. It was about focusing on Jesus, keeping him central in everything they did. So they would sit down and they would share the bread and the wine together and they'd go, remember Jesus. Don't forget Jesus. Don't forget his sacrifice. Don't forget his broken body. Don't forget the blood that he shed for us because that's the center of everything we want to do. So every week, Bridges, we stop, not because we have to. We do it because we want to. We do it because we want to stay focused on Jesus Christ, the breaking of bread, the breaking of his body, the shedding of his blood. I'm going to pray, and then after that, we have the three tables up here in the front, and you just come when you're ready and pick up the bread and juice. Return to your seat. Picture Jesus, the resurrected Lord and Savior, and eat and drink and commune with him. Let's pray. Father, what a great thing it is today to do this as one church and one body and one place together. This is such an exciting time. And to be centered on Jesus today just is everything. So as we take communion as part of our worship time, speak to our hearts. The bread represents your son's broken body, juice, his blood shed for us, so that today, 2,000 years later, we still have hope, we still have faith, we still have a purpose. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. When you're ready, come on up and receive communion.